Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. After my recent health problems, the doctors prescribed all kinds of big pharma for me, and the big pharma products did absolutely nothing to help me at all. My blood pressure was out of control, my sugar was out of control, waste of time. So I went an alternative route. I have tried and have been using the longevity products that are advertised on DIY Health here on EFR with very good results. Now, these products, accompanied with self-control of your diet and plenty of exercise, which is the key, well, my blood pressure is down in the normal range. My weight is way down, which brings my blood sugar level way down. And all in all, I feel pretty doggone good. So, if you would like to try these products, you can contact my friend Patrick at area code 901-553-6900. That's area code 901-553-6900. Tell Patrick what's going on with your health, and he can help you out. Thank you for listening, and may Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Hiya, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is word for word. I'm Pastor Steve. This is show number 460. We are in the book of Galatians. We will finish it up today with chapters 4, 5, and 6. And on the next show, we will be going into Ephesians. We're making very good progress here in the New Covenant. My website is www.pastor-steve.com in case you have missed any of my shows. You can download or listen to them there. There are items for sale like my Torah translations and other stuff and a few posts, and all of my shows are there. Word for word, wake up call, all of it. So help yourself. Let's get started with verse 1 of chapter 4 of the letter of Paul to the Galatians. And I say, for as long as the heir is a child, he is no different from a slave, though he is master of all. Verse 2, but is under guardians and trustees till the time prearranged by the Father. Verse 3. So we also, when we were children, were under the elementary matters of the world, being enslaved. Verse 4. But when the completion of the time came, Elohim sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under Torah. Verses 5 through 7, you can reference Romans chapter 8, verses 15 through 17. That's Romans 8, 15 through 17. And for verse 6 alone, you can reference 2 Esdras chapter 10, verse 7. At 2 Esdras 10, verse 7 for verse 6 here. Verse 5, to redeem those who were under Torah in order to receive the adoption as sons. Actually, it is placement. They have adoption. We were always with Elohim until we came here. We were in error a lot, so this is a testing ground for us. It is the placement as sons. I disagree with their translation here. Verse 6, and because you are sons, Elohim has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Verse 7, so you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, also an heir of Elohim through Messiah. Verse 8, but then, indeed, not knowing Elohim, you served those which by nature are not mighty ones. That's idols of wood and stone, the stars, etc., etc. Okay. Verse 9 of chapter 4, reference Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 and 20. That's Colossians 2, verses 8 and 20. Verse 9. But now, after you have known Elohim, or rather are known by Elohim, how do you turn again to the weak and poor elementary matters to which you wish to be enslaved again? Verse 10. He's talking about the teachings of the Talmudists that were doctrines of men in a great deal here, okay? Verse 10, you closely observe days and months and seasons and years, because that's their tradition of the elders, okay? Verse 11, I fear for you, lest by any means I have labored for you in vain. Verse 12, brothers, I beg you to become as I am, because I am as you are. You did not wrong me at all. Verse 13, but you know that through weakness of the flesh, I brought the good news to you before. Verse 14, and my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as a messenger of Elohim, as Messiah, Yeshua. Now, the trial that was in his flesh was his vision was starting to go. That's why he's having these letters transcribed by a scribe that went with him. Okay. Verse 15. What then was your blessedness? For I bear you witness that if possible you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. Verse 15 reaffirms that Paul was going blind and they would have given them their own eyes. That's what he's speaking of right here. Verse 16. So then, have I become your enemy, speaking truth to you? Verse 17, they are ardent toward you for no good, but they wish to shut you out that you might be ardent toward them. Verse 18. And it is good always to be ardent in what is good, and not only when I am present with you. Verse 19, and you can reference 4th Maccabees, chapter 15, verse 17. That's 4th Maccabees 15, verse 17. My little children, for whom I am again in birth pains until Messiah is formed in you. Verse 20, even now I wish to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I have doubts about you. Verse 21, say to me, you who wish to be under Torah, do you not hear the Torah? Verse 22. Reference Genesis chapter 16, verse 15. That's Genesis 16, 15, and chapter 21, verse 2. 21, verse 2. For it has been written that Abraham had two sons, one by a female servant, the other by a free woman. Verse 23. But he who was of the female servant was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise. All right, you read back. Ishmael was born of the concubine. Okay. Jacob was born by a promise given to Sarai, whose name was changed to Sarah. She would have a son, but she was old. She laughed and she says, I being old will have a child. She laughed. Well, that's what Yitzchak means. To laugh. Okay. Isaac. Verse 24. This is allegorical, for these are the two covenants. One indeed from Mount Sinai, which brings forth slavery, which is Hagar. All right. If you're trying to live by the Torah, you can never make it. Nobody ever made it but Yeshua. So you become a slave to all those little regulations, and they're still trying to do all the sacrificial stuff, which was set aside when Yeshua sacrificed his life as the final sacrifice. They're still trying to do the old sacrifice. And that's what he's talking about here. Verse 25, for this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is and is in slavery with her children. That's because the Talmudists were at that temple and they were trying to make everybody obey the laws which were fulfilled already. Now that some of the Torah was fulfilled. And you don't do those sacrifices anymore. But the rest of the Torah stands. Don't murder, don't covet, don't race mix, don't do this, don't do that, the important stuff, but not all the minuscule little regulations governing sacrifices. Those are fulfilled, but they're still trying to make the people do that. And that's the slavery to the Torah that he's talking about here. Verse 26. And for verse 26, you can reference 2 Esdras chapter 2, verse 2. 2 Esdras in your Apocrypha, chapter 2, verse 2, and chapter 10, verse 7. Chapter 10, verse 7. But the Yerushalayim above is free, which is the mother of us all. Because Yeshua was there, he was sacrificed there, and he freed them from all the minuscule regulations that the Edomite priests were trying to force them to follow. Verse 27, and verse 27 you can reference Isaiah chapter 54, verse 1. Isaiah 54, 1. For it has been written, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear. Break forth and shout, you who do not have birth pains. For the deserted one has many more children than she who has a husband. Verse 28. And we, brothers, as Yitzchak was, Yitzchak, that's Isaac, was, are children of promise. He was promised to Sarah. Okay, verse 29, reference Genesis 21, verse 9. Genesis 21, verse 9. But as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him according to the Spirit, so also now. Ishmael was very mean to Yitzchak, to Isaac, and was even shooting arrows at him, tells you that in the book of Jasher, mocking him, until Abraham found out about it and sent Hagar and the boy Ishmael out. He dismissed her, said, go. Verse 29. But as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him according to the Spirit, so also now. That's what that Genesis 21:9 is about that I just told you. Ishmael was persecuting Isaac. Verse 30, reference Genesis 21, verse 10. Genesis 21, verse 10, the next verse. But what does the scripture say? Cast out the female servant and her son, for the son of the female servant shall by no means be heir with the son of the free woman. What did I tell you? He had to send Ishmael and his mother away. He was not to get the inheritance. Only Isaac, Yitzchak, was to receive that inheritance. Okay? And then Yitzchak had Jacob, which was Israel. And the progeny of Israel are the patriarchs of our people, the 12 tribes of Israel. Those are the heirs down the line from that original son, Yitzchak. Verse 31. Therefore, brothers, we are not children of the female servant, but of the free woman. In other words, we are heirs to the promise through Yeshua Messiah. And that's what that whole passage is about. We are not slaves. We are free through Yeshua. He freed us from that burden of having to do all those tiny little rituals that were pushed upon the people even after they were fulfilled by Yeshua. Now that ends chapter 4. Let's go into chapter 5. Verse 1 of chapter 5. In the freedom with which Messiah has made us free, hear that, made us free. Free from the burden of the minuscule little laws, free from sin if we accept that covenant, okay? Made us free indeed. In the freedom with which Messiah has made us free, stand firm then, and do not again be held with a yoke of slavery. In other words, don't go back to the Talmudic priests of Edom that were trying to enslave you and control you again. Verse 2. See, I, Shaul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Messiah shall be of no use to you. Because a lot of these people in Galatia were not circumcised. They were born in a foreign land and never done that ritual. So you're not under that ritual if you're born that way. Now, if you're born of an Israelite family and they know the law, then your parents have you circumcised. Okay? But if you were never circumcised and you are now an adult, you don't get circumcised. It says that right here, verse 3. And I witness again to every man being circumcised that he is a debtor to do the entire Torah. Verse 4. You who are declared right by Torah have severed yourself from Messiah. You have fallen from favor. You're going back to the old law with all its little regulations. If you were circumcised on the eighth day when you were a baby, that's fine. That was not a conscious decision of you. But if you were never circumcised, you don't have to be circumcised. Only this rite of circumcision is for the babies, and only by the Israelite method, not by the quote-unquote Jewish method today. Because they don't do it right. They are butchers. All right, verse 5. For we, in spirit, by belief, eagerly wait for the expectation of righteousness. Verse 6. For in Messiah Yeshua, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any strength, but belief working through love. In other words, the ritual of circumcision, if you were never circumcised, is rendered basically meaningless at this point. Why? It wasn't done on the eighth day. You're under a new covenant, okay? So why try to enslave yourself through the old covenant? Now, I believe in circumcision of the babies according to the Torah. The Torah is not passed away, and if you are an Israelite and you have a baby, you are to circumcise that baby on the eighth day. But if not, if he's talking to people that are adults, when they find out about Yeshua, you come again, he said, you come as you are. All right, if you were not circumcised, okay. If you were circumcised, okay. It's your belief and following the commands of Yeshua that count. Verse 7, you were running well. In other words, you're going along with the teachings of Yeshua really well. Who held you back from obeying the truth? Verse 8, that persuasion does not come from him who calls you. verse 9. A little leaven leavens all the lump. All right, the leaven of the Pharisees. They're being influenced by the circumcision that are following Judaism instead of Christianity, and they're trying to trap them back in all the man-made rituals that the Edomites brought from Babylon. That's what the problem is right here. Verse 10. Reference 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6. I trust in you, in the Master, that you shall have no other mind, and he who is troubling you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. In other words, these Talmudists that were pestering these Christians. Oh, you got to do this, you got to do that. You have to come to the temple, and you have to do blah, 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 blah. And they're trying to put all these Talmudic Babylonian laws on them because they had corrupted the priesthood at that point. And they were teaching Babylonian Talmudism instead of the Torah. There's deception going on through these people, as it is today. Same deal. He's warning them, don't listen to these people. Verse 11, and I, brothers, if I still proclaim circumcision, why am I still persecuted? Then the stumbling block of the stake has been set aside. In other words, he was still proclaiming circumcision, as I do, but only for newborn babies, not for adults that had never been circumcised. I've never said that anybody that's fully grown should be circumcised. Only if they are of an Israelite family and they're 8 days old, that Israelite family is to obey that law. But if it was never done, if you were in foreign lands or your parents never had you circumcised, and you're 30 years old and you've just become a Christian, you're not required to be circumcised at that point. That is, if you read the law, the way it's set up, that's for newborns of 8 days old. Verse 12. Oh, that those who disturb you would even cut themselves off. That's the Talmudists that were beleaguering these people over all these regulations that they had made up. Verse 13, for you, brothers, have been called to freedom, only do not use freedom as an occasion for the flesh, but through love serve one another. In other words, don't use your freedom from all the Talmudic ritual to sin. Verse 14, and you can reference Exodus 19, verse 18, Exodus 19, 18. For the entire Torah is completed in one word, in this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, let's stop right here. Your neighbor? Only another Israelite, one of the same womb. Okay? Not a racial alien. That's not what it says here. Your neighbor is one like yourself of Israel. Look up the word for neighbor. Verse 15, and if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. In other words, if you have all these little disputes in the congregation, and you're backstabbing one another and doing all the stuff that they're doing out there today, especially in these churches, and it's crept into CI, infighting over minor things instead of following the main thing, the teachings of Yeshua. Now, some we have set aside because of major apostasy. Now, there's a breaking point there, okay? But we're not talking about major infractions. We're talking about little minor stuff. Verse 16, and I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not accomplish the lust of the flesh. In other words, stay in the Spirit, and you won't be horn around. You won't be a drunkard. You won't use drugs. You won't violate all these important laws, because the Spirit will guide you, and you will live a righteous lifestyle through the Spirit. Verse 17 is quite clear here. Romans 7, chapter 7, verses 15 through 23. That's Romans 7, 15 through 23. Verse 15. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Your body tells you to do one thing. You have lust for this or lust for that. But the Spirit says, no, that's sin. So they fight one another. And these are opposed to each other, so that you do not do what you desire to do. All right, here's an example. I'll make something up here. You see a guy go to a bank, and he comes out and he stuffs a wad of money in his pocket. And you're walking along behind a guy, and $100 in 20s falls out of his pocket. You pick up the money. Now, the flesh would say to you, well, this guy's a fool. He just dropped $100. Good for me. But the Spirit is telling you, this is not your money. You saw the man drop it. It's his money. Follow after him and holler at him and say, hey, you dropped this. It fell out of your pocket. This is your money. One is of the flesh, one is of the Spirit. Okay? That's a little example. That's a parable. Verse 19. That clarifies things here. And the works of the flesh are well known, which are adultery, whoring, uncleanness, indecency. All right, let's stop. Adultery. That's making impure your marriage or making impure the bloodline of the house of Israel by race mixing. It means both. And the works of the flesh are well known, which are adultery, whoring, uncleanness, indecency. Verse 20. Idolatry, drug sorcery, that's pharmakia, enchanting people with drugs. Drug sales, dope dealing, hatred, quarrels, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions. In other words, dividing up your assembly, making factions within the assembly so the assembly doesn't function properly. Verse 21, reference 1 Corinthians 6:10. 1 Corinthians 6:10. Continuing on with this line here. Envy, murders, drunkenness, wild parties, and the like, of which I forewarn you, even as I also said before, that those who practice such as these shall not inherit the reign of Elohim. They're living in the flesh, they're partying, they're running around with loose women or loose men, or just doing, they're getting high, doing all this stuff. It tells you not to do any of this stuff. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, trustworthiness. Verse 23. Gentleness, self-control. Okay, that's a key one, self-control. Against such there is no Torah. Living a godly lifestyle, there's no ruling in the Torah about that. Verse 24. And those who are of Messiah have impaled the flesh with its passions and the desires. In other words, you've set aside the flesh and all these wicked things that he just mentioned, and you're living under Yeshua's influence and the Spirit from Yahweh, and you're obeying all the godly commands. Verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. In other words, don't just say it, do it. Verse 26. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. All right, don't go for power play within the assembly to exalt yourself. There's one ruler, and that is Yeshua Messiah, not men. If you have a position of responsibility in an assembly, it is a duty towards your brethren and Messiah. It is not for your lifting up. It's for the glory of Yahweh and Messiah. Now, here is Chapter 6, and this will end the book about Galatians, Paul's letter to the Galatians. Verse 1. Brothers, if a man is overtaken in some trespass, you, the spiritual ones, set such a one straight in a spirit of meekness, looking at yourself, lest you be tried too. Okay? If you catch some guy running around on his wife, make sure you're not also running around on your wife. Because if you are, you have no business rebuking him. Straighten yourself up first. Okay? That's what he's saying. Be sure you're not doing the same thing as this guy is. Verse 2. Bear one another's burdens and so complete the Torah of Messiah. In other words, help one another. Don't catch a guy making an infraction and go to him and just read him the riot act. Do it in meekness and humbleness. Look, brother, this thing you've been doing is wrong. Because the scripture says this and this and this. Well, you can't argue with the scripture, but you can argue with people. Don't put your opinion in it. Quote scripture. Because if it's not in the scripture, It's not a rule. It might be your personal like or dislike or your opinion. A little drink of coffee here. Verse 3 of chapter 6. This is very important. For if anyone thinks himself to be somebody when he is not, he deceives himself. Don't puff yourself up. I get this deal. Oh, Pastor Steve, Pastor. Hey, I'm an ex-con. I have been redeemed through Yeshua in spite of my life. I was called. Okay? He straightened me up the same way he straightened Paul up. Paul persecuted the Christians and was killing them. But when Yeshua took over and showed himself to him, it completely changed that man. The old man passed away and the new man came out. Same with me. My life is no sterling example. Yeshua is the example. So I don't get all head up over being called pastor. Okay, blah, 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 blah. Okay, that's nice. Yes, I'm a pastor. I'm a shepherd of the flock. That's what a pastor is. Doesn't mean I lead a big mega church. That's not the description of being a pastor. It's a shepherd of the flock. I'm a preacher. Why? Because Yahweh made me a preacher. No glory to me at all. None. Zero. It's all Yahweh. Same with David James. Where does he get his sermons? He gets them from Yahweh. That's not stuff he makes up. That's not David talking. That's the Holy Spirit talking. There's a difference, okay? David struggles a lot because of all the negative stuff that people say about him. He gets hammered. And I imagine he gets a little down. But those of us that really know David love him to pieces. He is just a marvelous person. And he will do anything for you. Just you don't. And I have a number of friends like that that are in Yahweh. And they don't puff themselves up. David gets upset if he doesn't have a real good message and it comes at the last minute. Well, it does that to me too. He really loves Yahweh. And you can hear it in the stuff. He researches. He gets everything ready. He knows the scripture. And then the Spirit comes on him and he delivers sermons that just knock your socks off and tear your shoes to move. So I listen to his show because I always get a teaching out of it. That's the whole thing. He doesn't claim to be a pastor. He says he's a teacher. This is quite true. He teaches the pastors. Oh, man. I'm fortunate to be associated with people that really love Yahweh. That's a blessing. Let's move on here. Verse 4 of chapter 6. But let each one examine his own work. There he goes, self-examination. What are you doing? Not what are you saying. What are you doing in Yahweh? What are you doing to serve? You know? And then he shall have boasting in himself alone and not in another. Verse 5. For each one shall bear his own burden. And every one of us has a different burden. Here's a very important verse. Listen to this and take it to heart. And let him who is instructed in the word share in all that is good with him who is instructing. Share in all the good that your spiritual teacher is sharing with you. And then later on, when you know the word, you can go out and you can instruct others. Verse 7. Do not be led astray. In other words, be very careful, because there's a lot of nonsense going on out there today with false doctrine, etc., etc. Do not be led astray. Elohim is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. In other words, if you start following false doctrine and you start teaching that to others, you're going to get hammered for that. Verse 8, listen to this. Because he who sows to his own flesh shall reap corruption from the flesh, but he who sows to the Spirit shall reap everlasting life from the Spirit. In other words, if you're living in the world and worshiping stuff and trying to accumulate possessions, which will burn up as hay and stubble, that's what's going to happen to you spiritually. You'll be of the flesh and not of the Spirit, and you won't enter the kingdom. Here's something for all the pastors and teachers out there. You understand this. Verse 9. Now take this to heart. This is what keeps me going. And let us not lose heart in doing good. In other words, you don't think you're having a result, and you get down and you get a little weary. Okay, well, the word of Yahweh does not go out vain. It doesn't go out worthlessly. Somebody's going to hear it. Continuing on in this verse, for in due season we shall reap if we do not grow weary. You don't think you're making a difference? You don't think people are listening? They are. You just need to keep on keeping on. Don't get faint of heart and stop teaching or preaching. There's been some people that I've seen over the years that have left their post. They were called, they did it for a while, and they got tired. They didn't get any financial rewards. You're sure not gonna get rich preaching the real gospel. You might if you're preaching the false gospel, but if you're a real teacher of the word, you may not even make a living out of it. I don't. I live on social insecurity. I get donations every once in a while, and I sell my books. I don't huckster them. I'm not a salesman. People want my translations, that's fine. They're on the information's on my website, that's fine. If you want them, fine. If you don't, fine. That's not what I'm about. I make them available for people that really want to study. Other people don't really want to study, so they don't get them. No problem. Verse 10 of chapter 6. So then, As we have occasion, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of the belief. Help your brothers and sisters in Yeshua out. Verse 11. See with what big letters I have written to you with my own hand. In other words, he had to write large if he didn't have his scribe with him because he couldn't see anymore. Verse 12. As many as wish to make a good show in the flesh, these compel you to be circumcised, only so that they should not be persecuted for the sake of Messiah. In other words, the Talmudists were trying to make the people from the dispersed nations get circumcised because they didn't want to be singled out as somebody that was of Yeshua, because the other circumcision was persecuting those that were of Yeshua. Verse 13, this tells what they're doing. For those who are circumcised do not even watch over the Torah, but they wish to have you circumcised so that they might boast in your flesh. Look, I got him converted. He's circumcised now. He's in Judaism. No, that's not what we're about. Like I said before, if it's a baby of eight days old, yes. If you grew up and were never circumcised, no. You don't do that later. Matter of fact, it's dangerous. Verse 14, and for me, let it not be that I should boast except in the stake of our master Yeshua Messiah, through whom the world has been impaled to me and I to the world. In other words, he died to the world and the world is dead to him. He doesn't care about the things of the world. Verse 15 of chapter 6 of Galatians, reference 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 19, 1 Corinthians 7, 19, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that's 2 Corinthians 5, 17, and the book of Romans, Romans chapter 2, verses 26 through 29, verse Romans 2, 26 through 29. For in Messiah Yeshua, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any strength, but a renewed creature. All right? Circumcision is never going to get you into the kingdom of heaven. So if you've never been circumcised, don't bother with it. If you're circumcised as a little baby in the proper manner by Israelite parents, that's fine. But circumcision doesn't get you into heaven. Even the Edomites were getting circumcised at that point, and it didn't mean anything. They're not coming into the kingdom. Verse 16 of chapter 6. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and compassion be upon them and upon the Israel of Elohim. Verse 17. Verse 17, reference 3 Maccabees, chapter 2, verse 29. 3 Maccabees 2, 29. From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the scars of the Master Yahshua. In other words, he was beaten. He was very much abused and eventually was killed for the Master, for teaching the Word. Verse 18, this wraps up chapter 6 and the letter of Galatians. The favor of our Master Yahshua Messiah be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. Not Amon, Amen. So be it. And that ends the work in Galatians here. That's chapter 6. And we're finished with Galatians. I will begin on the next show, on show 461, the book of Ephesians. The letter to the people at Ephesus. Okay? That will take two shows. I am very pleased that I got this book done and had plenty of time. I didn't have to rush through it. I got all the notes in. I'm going as slow as I can without dragging in the New Covenant. I don't want to rush through and skip over notes, etc., etc. So, may Yahweh bless and keep you. And I will catch all of you on the next show. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. You are listening to EuroFolkRadio.com. We are privileged to bring you the Christian identity message to the dispersed people of true Israel, wherever they might be. We also bring you news and current events, health information, political commentary, and a little humor thrown in. We are glad that you could join us, and may Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh. Listening to EuroFolkRadio.com, a voice for European people worldwide.